Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Oh, it's Monday. What a Monday it is, too, Stu, right? I mean, nothing going on in the news. Well, except for, did you see that the ATF is redefining automatic weapons and taking just a few triggers off the market? And they don't need to go to Congress. They can get all of these things done now.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
So we have that going on for you. Also, something is happening in Afghanistan.
I've heard something about this. We'll get into the details. Yeah. You may not have heard any of these developments, but they're shocking.
Right. And the president is standing by his decision. And strangely, no one will answer the question directly. Is he even competent at this point? Wait until you hear what happened on the news shows over the weekend, on Sunday news shows. That and so much more on today's radio program.
You can subscribe at blazetv.com/Glenn. Promo code is Glenn to save $10 off your subscription, as well as make sure to go to thenazarenefund.org. It's available, still up there. We're still raising money, even though you've passed the incredible
$26 million is what we're at. It's an amazing thing. We have a lot of people to save and not a lot of time.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So Biden has it handled. In fact, you know, the sycophants at ABC, I mean, they even pointed out how correct he was. Listen to this.
Hey, your reporting early yesterday from the Kabul airport was frankly terrifying. We didn't talk to you in person because you were being chased out of the airport in a armored car, and you even had it much easier than the average Afghan, right? So President Biden has basically said now, hey, it was a really chaotic scene 4 or 5 days ago. He took control. He said to make it more orderly. From what you've been seeing, does that hold water?
It's just not true. I mean, what has happened, what is fair to say, is that they took control of the military side of the airport. They secured the perimeter. They managed to move all those people we saw on the runway, those tragic scenes of people clinging on to C-17s. But they didn't just go home. Of course they didn't. I mean, you know, there are thousands and thousands of people down there. It is a very scary, wild, and dangerous place.
Oh. Well,
but other than that,
just like Biden said,
yeah. We should say, I think that was Friday. So every report says it's deteriorated since then. So that was the high water mark. Of
Of course. We have people on the ground now in Kabul, and it is not good. Let me just give you a couple of things here. I'm just reading around what I can. Between 20,000 and 40,000 refugees are outside of the gates trying to get in. The DOD on Saturday was not allowing anyone in. 16,000 people were stranded inside the gates at the terminal and on the tarmac waiting for flights. The Taliban is, I'm just checking if this, the Taliban is using biometrics along the northern border to ID Afghans who worked for the coalition forces and killing them. Now, gee, how are they getting the biometric information on those people? That's That's weird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we, we did leave all of that information, didn't we?
Yeah, it was us again.
Shoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that kind of sucks.
You know what's not being mentioned at all is that the vice president of Afghanistan did not flee the country and was saying, hey, I'm over here. Wait a minute. I'm part of the government.
Trying to organize a
president now.
Right?
Yeah, trying to organize a government and a resistance, and we're completely ignoring it. Mm. Well, the Taliban says, Who cares what the Taliban says?
Did you see that the Taliban issued a red line to the United States government today?
Yeah.
A red line. Do not cross this red line.
Or else.
Or else.
What?
Or, yeah.
What are we talking about here?
I know.
We let the clip a minute ago, and they're like, we were trying to deal with the Afghan, Taliban requirements. The Taliban requirements? We're the United States of America. They don't require things of us. Right. What is happening?
It's madness. And, you know, like a few people put together an armed resistance in some of the northern districts.
Not with any of the military equipment that we left behind.
Mm. No, the Taliban has it all.
Right.
They put together a small little resistance and drove them out of their villages. Mm. Why are we doing that throughout the whole country?
Why aren't we doing that at the gates of the airport?
Right.
It's sick. It is really sick. What's happening? By the way, CBS News, they have finally given us something crystal clear on who to blame for the Taliban. If you've lost your crop and your land, or the Afghan government hasn't paid enough attention to you, then of course the Taliban can come and exploit it. Mm-hmm. They claim that climate change is partially to blame for the rise of the Taliban. Now, when I read that first, I thought Babylon Beat, right? No, CBS News. Mm-hmm. CBS News.
That was a serious point, is what you're saying.
That was a serious point. if that's what, you know.
Well, the only thing you can do when the temperature rises 0.9 degrees, no matter what the cause is, turn to Islamists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's usually what you do.
That's pretty much what you do.
Yeah. My crop has died. What do I do?
Go to the Taliban.
Let's go murder some girls.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's the normal response.
Sharia law? That's a good idea. The only alternative to climate change.
Hey, here's another one. I don't know if we covered this in our agreement with the Taliban, but this should have been a big don't do this to the Taliban. One of our little red lines. One of America's most wanted terrorists with a $5 million bounty on his head is in Kabul. Mm. He's reappeared. And he is now one of the Taliban leaders mapping out the future of the country. His name is Khalil Harkani, and he has pledged a new era for Afghanistan. He was leading prayers for the Taliban fighters at a mosque there in Kabul. The Harkanis, that's I guess a bunch of brothers, have been blamed for some of the deadliest terror attacks across the world in recent years. They have been designated as a foreign terrorist group by the United States and United Nations. Despite their reputation, they are expected to be a powerful player in the new regime following the Taliban's takeover in Afghanistan. Another key leader of the Harkani network is Anis Harkani.
That is a good name.
Isn't it? Now, some might say it's pronounced Anas, but I think it's Anis Harkani.
Uh-huh.
He was also, Anis was in the capital on Friday. Mm. Anis runs a shadowy group.
And one That's of the not most, a surprise to me.
Yeah, one of the most powerful networks behind the Taliban.
Mm.
They've been on the jihad since the Soviets were in, and now they're...
Mm.
You know, we the CIA used them as an asset.
Asset.
Mm-hmm. Anus and his group. It was an asset mm-hmm. For the CIA. And
We were involved in that one too, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a shocker.
Did you guys see the picture of the Taliban before and after the CIA training?
No.
You didn't see that photo?
No.
On the top was the Taliban all gathered together with their AK-47s with their fingers on the triggers. Post CIA, they all had the fingers off the trigger and in the safety position. Yes.
Oh, that's good. Oh,
my yes. gosh. So the CIA trained them not to put their fingers on the trigger unless you're going to shoot somebody. And I think that's what they do now.
No, should they have good. Tried to train them that's to good. Not shoot the 9-year-old children?
Yes, they probably should have. Okay. I'm going to say yes on that.
That was
one.
In the next mm-hmm. lesson, but we needed yeah, but we to left. Get out of there. Yeah. We needed to get out of there. Did you see the mock of Iwo Jima?
Yeah.
You see this still?
I don't know that I did.
They have the military uniforms now.
So this is them
now?
In our military uniforms mm-hmm. and all of our assets. This is them mocking Iwo Jima, oh raising the flag.
Oh my gosh, is that real?
The Taliban flag.
The Taliban flag over. Yeah, yeah. It is. I mean,
this is so
they're
embarrassing.
They're mocking us.
I can't believe that Twitter is still allowing them. Facebook is still allowing them. I mean, mm-hmm. the Taliban has a meme department now and they're mocking us.
I saw an article that said, how can you cancel forever the former president of the United States, Donald Trump, but you have the Taliban leadership up there?
Well, they're following the rules of Twitter. That's all.
They're following the rules of Twitter.
So,
okay.
Huh. All right.
Wow. I can't. I just don't even know
how to.
Keep
them up there, I guess. Whatever.
Mm-mm. By the way, a flashback. back to 2010. A letter found in 2010 revealed that Al-Qaeda targeted President Barack Obama, but not Joe Biden, because Osama bin Laden considered Biden to be an incompetent fool that would lead the U.S. into crisis.
What? Where did he get that?
He had forbidden Al-Qaeda from trying to assassinate Joe Biden because he considered the then vice president to be incompetent. It was likely to lead the U.S. into a crisis if he were to assume the presidency.
That era, Joe Biden was incompetent. What is this era's Joe Biden?
Incontinent as well.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Rudy is our CEO of the Nazarene Fund. Rudy, welcome. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Glenn. It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you. Can you give us an update? You're on the air, by the way. Give us an update on everything you can.
Yes. So we're getting our first 340 passengers out as we speak. The plane is getting ready to take off.
It's on the ground. It's on the ground and being loaded?
Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
So that's good news. A lot of the people that are boarding are extremely dehydrated. We had to move aprons because the tarmac is covered in feces. There are over 16,000 people inside the airfield. It's an absolute mess. The outside gate was just closed because of IED threats from ISIS. Taliban are blocking people on the outside perimeter of the airport and not allowing them through.
President Biden says that there's no harm coming to U.S. citizens or people that are trying to get in, that they're not being beaten by the Taliban or anything else. Can you?
I think that's completely false.
Okay.
That is completely and unequivocally false. Everything that's come out of this administration has been nothing but lies. Right now, our biggest obstruction has not been you know, our ability to extract people, but it's been the U.S. State Department that's been obstructing. We cannot get a single person in the State Department to support us on the diplomatic front. However, right now different countries that want to take people or have agreed to take people are requesting diplomatic notes from the State Department that when they arrive, 1, 2, 3 will happen. And the State Department keeps telling us we will not write any notes. We will not give you any support whatsoever. So we're in the middle of diplomatic wranglings, trying to figure out when we go rotate people in, rotate planes in to take them out, where we're going to take them to next destination. So we're in concert talking to.
We have countries that will take them. Why is our State Department not willing to say, yes, you can move them?
They've been the biggest obstruction. I mean, guys in DOD that I'm working with are leaning forward in the saddle to help us, but the State Department, not a single soul in there is being helpful whatsoever. I understand a lot of congressmen and senators are angry. They're writing letters and they're trying to get things moving, but it's been extremely slow. I've never, ever in my entire life seen anything so messed up and so discombobulated. It's just been a nightmare for us. Yeah. But we're determined to get people out. I mean, we're figuring out different angles, different ways. The threat keeps increasing every single day. For the people, not only from, you know, from the different radical groups on the ground, but we're talking about dehydrations, people who are sick with medical conditions, and you know, there's no food and water, no bathrooms, like I said. So, you know, every second I hear different stories of Air Force wanting to send planes. They're focusing on American citizens, getting American citizens out, but we also have the SIVs and people who helped us. And until we clear the airfield from the inside, we can't bring people from the outside in. So that's the biggest dilemma right now. So that's the part that we're trying to solve as fast as we can.
How fast is the military transport planes going in and out?
There are some planes coming in. I heard there's going to be a fairly big rotation of military planes coming in today, but focused on American citizens. I have not confirmed that yet. I'm trying to confirm it, I'll be jumping on some phone calls afterwards. But it's been. I mean, the problem is normally when you do a non-combatant evacuation, you put the Department of Defense in charge, and then basically the State Department backbenches and supports. In this case, it's flipped around. So the State Department is trying to run the show, and the Department of Defense is in the backbenching. That's why it's gotten so messed up. And the State Department is providing zero support, zero help.
Are other operations outside continuing? Outside of the airport?
We're working, yes. I mean, we're working on that diligently. It's just, you know, the threats are so high right now and getting worse. So, you know, without disclosing much, we're working on one piece of it. Okay. And we're coming up with lots of different options as we focus our attention on the airport at the same time.
Okay, so do we have the first plane ready to take off here in just a few minutes? What time should that be taking off? Do you know? I think we only have a half hour on the ground, don't we?
No, we have a little bit longer than that.
Oh, okay,
on the ground.
Good.
It's going to be closer to an hour and a half, 2 hours,
Is that going to be followed by another one? Are we in a system yet of being able to rotate them?
We have currently multiple aircraft on tap, but we are in the middle of trying to sort out the diplomatic issue on the other end. But we have to clear any more people coming in.
That's all because of the State Department. The State Department could take care of this right now.
Oh, absolutely. But nobody's stepping forward. I mean, we spent I haven't slept in 3 days. It's all we've been doing is calling people and trying to get this issue sorted out. My objective has been, you know, let's get them out of Afghanistan wherever we take them, and then deal with the aftermath there. But it's hard when you fly a plane and then it gets diverted midair to, you know, to another place, and then it sits on a tarmac and, you know, with a bunch of passengers who are dying of dehydration in the back, and then you make matters worse. So we're trying to sort that out all at
okay.
the same time.
All right. What can we do here that would help? Should we call our senators? What can we do?
Call senators, call congressmen, get people to shake the State Department from the inside out and get them to provide us at least some diplomatic support where we can just go. We have the assets to fly the planes. We have the people on the ground to move the people, but we just need at least countries that will take them and help us with that portion of it.
And we're asking for the State Department to give these planes what? Diplomatics.
We want,
go ahead.
Yes. We want them to work through our embassies in the various countries, just to say, you know, they will give a diplomatic note and say, please, if you take these refugees for 10 days or whatever, you've got them, and then you can rotate them out to next destination. At least it gives us a little bit of time to work with the bigger countries, you know, Western countries that have agreed to take, you know, refugees permanently, you know, time to cycle in other aircraft that come in and take them to final destination.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Rudy. And God bless you. We are praying for you, and millions are praying for all of the people involved on your team. Thank you.
Thank you for all your support.
You bet. Yeah. Bye-bye. It's Rudy Atala. He is the CEO of the Nazarene Fund. He was on the National Security Council for presidents past, and been in the Air Force for, I don't even know, 30 years. Is a remarkable, remarkable man. So here's what I'd like to do. And if we could get one of our producers on the phone, let's get Ricky and Sarah, start to man the phone. Let's get some of these senators and congressmen that we know on the phone, and on the air. We need you to call your senators and congressmen. There's some things that are going on that you will find out about later. We're trying not to ruffle feathers until we can get people out. There's no reason to finger point until we get things out. But the State Department is a big problem. And we need those members of Congress to move. This is one of the hardest, most heartbreaking things I have ever been involved in. I get good news, and then the rug is ripped out from underneath me. The way this is being handled is insanity, absolute insanity. I've seen government operations, and government operations don't always go your way, but they at least will make sense. If it's a military operation, it will at least make sense to some degree. This makes no sense on what is going on. And we're a week into it, and they're still doing this. We have, what is it, 9 days? Is it 9 days to the 31st? I don't even know the date today. It's the
23rd today.
Okay, so we are running out of time. Mm-hmm. And as he's saying, it's getting worse on the ground. They are becoming more and more emboldened. And we have to get these people out. And we have the planes on standby. We have everything ready. When I asked if we were doing some of the other things outside, you don't know how people are risking their lives to help people right now. We have people that are in grave, grave danger right now trying to get people to the airport. You will be amazed when you hear this whole story. but we need you to call your senators and congressmen right now. Flood them right now and tell them we need the State Department to give diplomatic passes to the airplanes that are loaded up with these refugees to allow the UAE to take these people and hold them for 10 days until they can go someplace else. That we've already coordinated all of these other countries. We have everything we need. We have absolutely everything we need. Except the Taliban is holding the gates and stopping us from bringing in some people. We're working on workarounds for that. And then the other obstacle, and these are the two, the Taliban and our State Department. We already have everything else we need. We have the countries where they are going to be accepted, where they'll be gladly taken. We have places for them to hold until they go to their final destination. We have it all. We don't have all of the people because the Taliban, as Rudy just said, the president is lying to you. He is lying to you. They are beating people at the gates. The other obstacle is our State Department. I believe it's one and the same. Please call your senator and your congressman right now and ask them to please clear the problems with the State Department to get these refugees out. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Saber Nasiri is known by a lot of people as Saber Rock. He is an Afghan interpreter, and now his family is being hunted by the Taliban because he was such a hero in helping the U.S. Saber, welcome to the program.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much, sir.
How are you?
I'm 50% okay because I never give up. Even I lost my fingers in the war. Even I was on a front line, but I know my family, they're hunting right now in Afghanistan, and they have not been saved yet. And the Taliban, they're looking my family around the airport of Kabul airport, but I never lose hope. I just kindly ask everyone to pray for me. And we can save them.
So if you don't know what happened to Saber, he was one of the lead guys early on in the war in the Helmand province, which was one of the most violent regions in the area. And they had to drive a wedge between the Afghani villagers and the Taliban, and all of the communication then would be driven right through Rock, if you will, Saber Rock. And it ended up really, really, really well. They were doing a documentary film of it at the time. And because of that, he had a $300,000 bounty on his head. And your family now some of the family has gotten out and are in Dubai. And we don't want to identify the family at all, but you have other members of your family that you're trying to get out. And you say they're at the gates of the base?
Yes, I cannot share the location right now, but they're around the airport. You know, I'm a little bit sad. It becomes 3 weeks. I couldn't sleep good. And 4 hours I sleep, 1 hour because I don't feel, happy. I'm very upset. I cannot eat because my heart, and this pain is from my heart. You know why? Because I fought for this country. I'm an American citizen, and I sacrificed for this country. They even made a documentary movie about me that I won Emmy Award, Hollywood Award. And now, Mr. Joe Biden, that I respect and like him, I know one day he will change Afghanistan. I know one day he will listen to the people of Afghanistan. But unfortunately, he broke my heart. Mr. Joe Biden broke my heart because he left my family behind. He left the other allies behind. Some of the military force, military retire, like Colonel Mark DeVito, Mr. Brad Park, CEO of Hollywood Film Festival, and Nancy Rivard, especially Lucastro Brothers, that they made the movie about me, and also Congressman Chris Smith, Green Beret Jerry Torres. They all retire, army and military forces. They are helping me. But Joe Biden, Mr. Joe Biden didn't. Joe Biden's supposed to support and save my family.
He says that the Taliban is not beating people. It's not, they're abiding by, you know, the way they should behave in international law. Any comment on trusting the Taliban and what's really happening on the ground?
Whatever he said, that maybe he mentioned to the social media, but I will show, I will give you proof that the Taliban, they're looking for those people who serve for U.S. government, who serve for like a general colonel. They are searching every single houses. They beat a lot of people. They tell my family members. They beat my brothers, both brothers that they are in Dubai right now. His name is Rahim Ahmadi Maher Nasseri. So they're beating everyone. I have proof. You know, the people of Afghanistan want peace and democracy without interfere of foreigners. But people of Afghanistan said, we want, majority people of Afghanistan said, we want America, we want United States forces to stay in Afghanistan for good. If not, at least they can stay for 50 years, because United States military, they're in other countries for 17 years. Mm-hmm. Why they're left us behind? What's our? We didn't do anything. So the voice is the voice are from people of Afghanistan, the innocent people of Afghanistan. Now, look, a lot of people, they are leaving Afghanistan. What does it mean? It means they don't like Taliban. Majority of people of Afghanistan, majority means 99% of people of Afghanistan, they don't like Taliban. Then they're kindly requesting from Mr. Joe Biden. Mr. Joe Biden can change everything, can save all people of Afghanistan, if he can. So they're kindly requesting, please, Mr. Joe Biden, save us from beasts, save us from animals. Taliban are animals.
So let me ask you this, Saber. The Taliban army did not, it's not the Taliban, the Afghani army did not stand up to the Taliban. But we're seeing now all throughout the country, these citizens in towns all over the country standing up and kicking them out of the area. What happened to the army? What happened to, you know, your president?
Good. Thank you so much that you brought that. I graduated from political science in Afghanistan, and I'm an expert about Afghanistan. I travel all over Afghanistan. So it means that I'm telling you the truth. So majority of right now, majority of U.S. Afghan Army, ANA, Afghan National Army, they are trying to join Mr. Ahmad, Mr. Ahmad, which is he is the son of the leader of Afghanistan, Ahmad Shah Massoud, killed by Taliban. He was the hero and champion. Now they start, because 95% of Afghanistan covered by Taliban, 5%, which is Panjshir province and north, and some of the province in north, they are under control of Mujahideen. They're under control of the people who beat the Russia, who beat the China, who mm-hmm. beat the England, who beat the Pakistan and India, whatever. But what happened was the manager, the so-called president, Mr. Ashraf Ghani, he elected by U.S. government. He elected by president of United States, whatever it was. He was the fraud, driver and fascist president we ever had.
Wow.
He was the hated president of Afghanistan. So then the Taliban, they became strong. Why? Because Mr. Ashraf Ghani was supporting Taliban under table. And they, Mr. Ashraf Ghani released a lot of Taliban. Mr. Ashraf Ghani brought the representative of Taliban on the table. Taliban was lost the war. America won the war, but Hamid Karzai, Ashraf Ghani, they support Taliban. You know, the Taliban, they didn't expect that they get the all province of Afghanistan like a water. Why? Because Mr. Ashraf Ghani called every corps. We have 11 corps in Afghanistan. They call them. They said, leave all your corps, all your battalion for Taliban. But the people, the army, our army, Afghanistan army, and they said, we can fight. We have tanks. We have helicopter. We have ammunition. And we have everything. But Karzai and also Ashraf Ghani said, no, leave it to them. That's why we lost Afghanistan. The problem, majority of people of Afghanistan said, if we see Ashraf Ghani anywhere, we will not leave him alone. They are very, very, very upset from
When he left, because he apparently left with his family and his gold and everything else, it was kind of, it looked as though he was leaving because of the Taliban. He wasn't, according to you. He's leaving because the people were angry with him?
Correct. He left Afghanistan for two reasons. Number one, he stole $50 million. Even he didn't took $5 million with him. He gave him to the PPS. The reason why he left, because the people was hungry on him. Number two, he left because of the money. He stole the money. He got it. He, you know, there was a three person control all Afghanistan. Number one, Ashraf Ghani. Number two, Dr. Moheb, which is, he was not a doctor. He was a nurse. And there was another guy, Mr. Fazli. These three gentlemen cover all Afghanistan. That's why the Taliban became upset. The people of Afghanistan became upset. They said, it's better, the people of Afghanistan said, it's better that we can leave Afghanistan because these three gentlemen sold every single mine to the neighbors. But they have two faces. Number one, the first phase is just polishers. I'm sorry to say that. He polished everybody. He, he showed his sympathy to the people. But the other phase was just selling our country, our people, our army, our tank to the enemies of the human being.
Right. Including China. Right. That's where the mines went.
Of course. The copper mine from east of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai sold it before, then Ashraf Ghani sold it. But they sold it and they act under table. Mm. Not on the table.
Mm.
I'm sorry to say that. Kindly, I'm requesting from Mr. Joe Biden, please follow and investigate Mr. Ashraf Ghani. We won the war. I'm a U.S. citizen. United States won the war. But now Taliban, they got celebration. They got party. They said we beat Russia. We beat America. It's not true. It's not true. If United States want to win the war or jump back, we have one link. We have a big unit right now. They are located in north of Afghanistan. We call Panjshir province. The Panjshir leader, Mr. Ahmad, son of Ahmad Shah Massoud, champion of Afghanistan, you can just Google it. He said we have 200 special forces unit, and the Taliban, they scared from them. Yesterday, Taliban lost three villages and five cities.
Right.
So operation has started. The people, the northern people, northern lion people say, we don't need support of United States now.
Right.
If United States want to support us, we are kindly requesting and welcoming American forces. We don't need military person. We need ammunition. We need air support.
Yeah.
Then we promise in 1 year we will get all Afghanistan. We promise that. So well, we have a strong unit now.
Saber, I appreciate the insight on this, and I do hope that we change our tactics here because we are just abandoning our friends and so many women and so many little girls and children from having a safe future and a future of freedom. Saber Nasseri, thank you very much. Our best to you. We will pray for your family, and we will do all we can to make sure that your family is with you here as an American citizen. God bless you.